Before we get started, I just want to take a moment here to talk to you guys and give you a little bit of an explanation as to what this episode is. We recorded this episode earlier in what you've heard so far in release order, but I paused on editing it and putting it out because there were a couple of mistakes that happened. So during this episode, when we make a mistake, I will take a moment after the mistake has been made to clarify the point and to get it right. So if you're listening to this and you hear us say something wrong, don't stop the recording and dash off a mean email. Give it a minute. I'll probably explain what we should have said afterwards. And then after my explanation, if it's still bad, then certainly get with us. You'll also hear us talk about a quote-unquote future episode with Robert Bannon, which is the last episode that you've now heard. So you can tell when this was recorded, considerably before that one. But enjoy.
Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about the double first base in NFHS.
Yeah, it's actually required for D1 NCAA too. And the rules are very, very similar. So
yeah,
fun
so,
stuff.
Yeah. And so again, mining the OHSAA white book for this year, the first paragraph here in the section about double first base points out that the NFHS was one of the leaders in establishing the first safety base or double first base to avoid collisions. Recently, other sanctioning bodies, including NCAA softball and baseball, have instituted a safety base. It's important to notice that in these many of these games, their rules differ from NFHS softball rules. A little pat on the back first, like, hey, we're leading the way on safety.
Yep.
Talk about other people. But the important part here is, hey, rules are different between sanctions. And, you know, newsflash to everyone involved, I'm sure. But even something as quote-unquote simple as you think a double first base, a safety base, the rules are different. So what's up with us?
Yeah, so not only, you know, is NFHS a leader in it, but the OHSAA is as well, because even in NFHS, it's an optional rule for state adoption, and OHSAA was an early adopter of the base. I'm a huge fan, you know, as the listeners know, we're both girl dads.
Yep.
And the safety of our young ladies that are out there playing is of the utmost importance. You see, for years, you've seen, even in the NCAA, you know, people stepping on ankles and, did she do that on purpose?
Yeah.
And she did, you know, and it's like the safety bag just gets rid of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some caveats to how you use the safety bag. So let's talk about those.
Yep. So first of all, we just talked about this actually in a recent episode about AI, but if you're going to double check us, which you always should double check, quote unquote experts, people that talking heads.
did you just call us experts?
It's, you know, I air quoted the heck out of that. My finger almost fell off.
We're just having fun here, guys.
Yeah.
So.
but if you want to keep, you know, you want to check the rules, it's NFHS. Rule 811 as we're dealing with the bag. And so that first thing here is that the requirement for the double bag requires that the offense and defense use specific portions of the safety base, and they only apply when there is a play being made on the batter runner at first base.
Yeah, that's right.
So in this situation, the batter runner is required to touch the colored base and can be called out if the defense successfully appeals before the batter runner returns to the base. The fielder is required to touch the white base to record a putout, with an exception that the offense or defense can use either base on plays from foul territory or errant throws that pull the fielder into foul ground.
Yeah, that's a very important one. So let's just break that down in non-lawyer speak. If you hit the ball and you're going to run through first base, and you hit the ball into fair territory, and the ball is not bobbled by the fielder and kicked into foul territory, we'll talk about that one. But if the standard play, you hit the ball to short, stop, and she's trying to throw you out over there at first base, when you run through, you got to touch the orange one. If you don't touch the orange one, so that means if you stepped over it, if you went around it, or you stepped on the white one, you can be appealed for missing the bag. And so if she gets the ball over there and she touches you and you haven't touched the bag yet, then you'd be done. Right. So,
but it is important to note, if you hit a double, for instance, and you round, and as you round first, you touch the white bag on the way to second, that's okay.
Yep.
Because this this only comes into play when there is a play being made on you at first base.
That's right.
So it's important to know.
The only time the orange bag does.
Yes.
So what if I touch the orange bag and run to second? There is no orange bag if you ran to second. You have to touch the white one. So it's there for your safety when there's going to be a play made on you at first.
Okay. So David just said that, quote, there is no orange bag and that they have to touch the white one. That's not correct. I'm going to read to you from the 2026 NFHS softball casebook. Under 811-1, situation A, with R1 on first base, B2 hits a fair ball to F8. B2, in rounding the double first base, A, touches the colored part and continues to second, B touches the white part and continues to second, or C cannot make it to second safely and returns to first base, touching the colored portion of the base. Ruling, legal in A, B, and C. In B, B2 is permitted to touch the white part since there's no play being made on B2, and provided B2 does not interfere with the fielder at first. In C, B2 may touch either white or colored portion when returning to first base. Of course, here, A only situation A was relevant for what we're saying, but I just want to kind of expand that point that we're going to get back to a couple times, that once you've passed the base, it's one big base.
Then the caveat they put, or the exception that they put on that particular play, is that if the ball is coming from foul territory, either player can use either bag. This is now uncaught third strike, drop third strike.
Yep.
And the ball hit the catcher's right shin guard and careened off, 8 feet toward the first base dugout. And hopefully the first base player, F3, has set up on the orange bag and is now ready to stretch toward the catcher in foul territory. And the runner can now use the white bag or the orange bag. And I would suggest please use the white one.
Exactly.
Try to avoid those collisions out there. And then, of course, the other exception is that if the throw takes F3 offline and she gets in the way, now you can also use the white one as the base runner too. Here's an interesting one. So once the batter runner reaches first base, i.e. overruns the base or rounds the base toward second, she may return to either the white or colored base. This is a clarification. This is new. It's not in 8-11. I couldn't find it. We just looked for it.
Okay, on this one, this is just a brain cramp. So, David mentioned that this is new, that this is a clarification, that this is something that wasn't here before or that we didn't see when we just tried to look it up. This is one of those things when, if you've ever done something when people are watching or you're on the clock or there's something happening, you can sometimes get really bad at it. And in this case, apparently that was reading and reading comprehension for us. In the 2026 rules, 8-11, Article 3 says the offense or defense may touch the white or color base. And then it says, A, on a fair ball hits the outfield with no play being attempted, or when the runner is returning to first base. That's right in there. But if I look back, I actually have a copy of my 2020 NFHS softball rules. And that time, it was 8-10, not 8-11. But 8-10-3A says, on a fair ball hit to the outfield with no play being attempted or when the runner is returning to first base. So it's been there. We just missed it in reporting it back to you. Also, David might be mixing this up with the NCAA rules. So with the new rules for the NCAA, I will point you at rule 12.6.2.3. which just says, in general, the foul portion of the base is only available when a play is being made on a batter runner advancing home to first. Once a batter runner passes the base, the foul portion is no longer available to the offense or defense. So you might have been in kind of a college mode. I'll point you at that section of the book, plus or minus that section. You'll see some of the exclusions and everything else. This is not an NC2A episode. This is NFHS episode, but I just wanted to kind of give you perspective on that, hopefully not sidetrack you.
And we've got a play that we're going to talk about that talks about it. So, but we'll finish these last two little paragraphs first. So after reaching first base, the runner is considered to be in contact with the base when touching either the white or colored base. When the offense can use either base, the defense can use either side as well. An example would be plays where the runner is required to return after a caught line drive or fly ball.
Yep. So if you think about, in this case, think about a ball that's maybe tailing down to right field and it's sinking and the right fielder makes a heroic effort and the runner on first thought there's no way they're going to catch it. And so they take off, but they do catch it. And so now they've got to come back. But that fielder who made this diving catch has slid into foul territory, pops up and guns the ball to first. In that case, you can imagine first base person, foot's on the color bag, stretching to foul territory for that right fielder. Runner's returning from the second base direction and is coming back and is going to get that white bag. So it makes sense if you think about what's the reason for the rule, safety, right? Yeah. And so then this is what we got. So we're saying in a play where this person's doing this, then flip-flop, when do you get the colored, when do you get the white?
And I think this is a really good opportunity to remind the listeners that the episode that we're recording right now and the one you're hearing right now is an NFHS double first base episode. This is not an NCAA double first base episode. We'll record one of those too, but this is not that. This is high school. So let's talk about a little bit. One of the plays, it was a social media play. I actually got roasted pretty bad by one of my coaching friends. They sent me the video of a young girl, and I believe it was Little League, actually. So it wasn't NFHS, and I don't know the Little League rules, but I would imagine they're similar. And it was a picture or a video. The young lady had hit a single, ran through first base, beat it out. And so the F3 has the ball. And the batter runner returns to the orange bag. So as she's walking back toward the bags, you can tell F3 is about to, she's going to put a tag on her. And the batter runner steps on the orange bag with her left foot and then steps backwards, closer to the first base dugout than second base, as an example. Did not step toward fair territory or the white bag, stepped away from the white bag with her back foot. So her front foot is now on returned to the orange bag, and her back foot is closer to the first base dugout than it is second base. And so the umpire is standing there watching, and as soon as she steps backward with that right foot toward the first base dugout, still touching the orange bag, facing second base, right? So as soon as she steps backwards like that, F3 applies the tag, and the umpire is standing right there, and he bangs her out. Boom. She's out. She returned to the orange bag. So my coaching buddy is like, hey, what do you got there? And I said, man, I got a I have two things. I have a coach who did a poor job of instructing base running and how the safety bag works. And I have a very unfortunate situation where I think by rule that girl's out. And I think she returned to the wrong back, you know. It's there for her safety when she's coming through, but after she's through, you know, we've kind of been taught or assumed, maybe, I don't know, I'm not going to throw any instructors under the bus, but that once the safety issue was done, the red bag is gone. It's now you're back to, you just have white bags. You know, when you dive back, you know, you better dive back to the white one, but not the orange one. So anyway, I said, man, it's unfortunate, but I think she's out. And he was just very not happy about that. And then that post was on social media. And so there was a lot of back and forth, a lot of comments, and said, how did I know she returned to it? Like, where in the book? So now I'm thinking about it as well, right? And so where in the book does it say she's done going back to the bag and she's not at the white one yet? And so I had made a judgment that said, well, she was done moving. She returned to the wrong one because she went to the orange one and stopped. Because what if she had stopped like one step short of getting back to first base and was still just kind of barely moving that direction toward first base? You can tag her now if you want to. She's not out.
All right. Here again, wrong about this story. You know, David mentioned some rationale for that is how fast she went back. Or so he admitted he was wrong initially, but then tried to play timing into it. Like she may have still needed to aim back at first base white portion. And that's just not true. It's the phrase one big bag is not found in the rule book, but it is found in spirit in the rule book. And you find that over and over again in the case book where the color portion is allowed to be used once the base has been passed. So the only time that there's a differentiation on the base in NFHS is when a play is being made, in which case typically the batter runner needs to use the colored portion. And the defense needs to use the white portion, with the exception of an errant throw or a throw coming from foul territory. Just want to clarify that. It should kind of coincide with what we've been saying and what David is going to say here, that the rule specifies, but in reality, pretty sure this is what the rule has been saying all along. And we were just talking ourselves in circles, I guess.
So anyway, this text that we're seeing now in the OHSAA white book is clarifying that for us and saying that after reaching first base, the runner is considered to be in contact with the base when touching either the white or colored bag. So once the batter runner reaches first base, overruns the base, or rounds the base towards second, she may return to either the white or colored base. This is in the white book. So here in Ohio, this is what you've got. And if somebody challenges that to you, you can have them call the OHSAA office and talk to them about that. But Either base is okay for them to come back to. And again, I'm going to say this is NFHS. This is High School Federation. So yeah, anyway, double first base, big fan, love it. Now we know, we understand how to use it as a base runner and as a fielder. Fielders, use the white one until you're doing something from foul territory, or if an errant throw takes you off the bag, then you can use either. And runners, same thing, right? Use the red one. And then if the ball's coming from foul territory, you can use either. We suggest use the white one if you can to make sure that it's still safe, you know, as safe as possible. So I think that's what we have on double first base, Pete. We got, is that an episode? No, not yet. Let's keep talking. Oh, no, let's give them something. So let's figure something out here. Well, we will do this. So we have a listener that has been active with us. Some of you may know him. His name's Robert Bannon. We were trying to get him to call in on the podcast today while we're doing recording. On the bat phone, yeah. Pick up the bat phone and call in. He is actually teaching, or he's a clinician today, and not able to join us right now. But so we have his contact information, and we're going to be reaching out and scheduling an interview.
Give him a shout out too. He's got a YouTube channel.
Absolutely.
We just had a recent episode where we talked about rule changes and points emphasis for NFHS. But we are not the only voices in the world, and topics can be discussed multiple ways from multiple perspectives by multiple teachers who are going to explain things. And he put a YouTube video out, again, a different medium. People listen to podcasts might hear us. People who prefer to consume through YouTube listen to him. So we definitely want to shout him out and point people his direction and find his video he put out there, which is a very good and informative explanation of the situation.
Yeah, so there's a very recent link on the Ask the Umpire Facebook group.
Yeah, we can link it out in the comments, and I'll attach it to the Facebook. I'll attach it to the Facebook group. Or the Facebook page post for this, as well as put it in the comments on umpiringfastpitchsoftball.com so you guys can see it and link to it and maybe subscribe and show him some love.
Yeah, the channel is Softball Umpire Academy, and he's got some really cool intro music you probably just heard. But anyway, there's a shout out. It's good stuff. And as we indicated in our rules change episode, not huge rules changes, you know, they didn't change much, but the point of emphasis is really the important thing there. So we're looking forward, very much looking forward to our call with Umpire Bannon.
There we go. And I think that does it for us this week then.
It does. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.